This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, here comes Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. Hi, Momo. How you doing?
What's up, Mark? How are you?
We're doing great here. What the hell's going on with the Nuggets? Is that why you flew to SAC?
Yeah, I'm doing their game today, and you know, it's one of these. I always just kind of parachute in. That's always how we work, right? You know, they happen to be on the West Coast, so I was like, okay, I can just fly up there. But I've sort of been on the phone the last 24 hours since that happened, and I think it's, you know, it's. When Taylor Jenkins got fired, I was really surprised because, you know, usually just people just wait till the end of the year. Like, they just played out. And I think the Nuggets, you know, could have done the same thing. They could have just waited till the end of the year and played it out. But I get why they didn't, too, in the sense that you have Jokic in his prime. You lose four in a row. You've kind of been feeling this way for most of the season. I think they had kind of come to the conclusion that they were probably going to, you know, change the coach and then, you know, decide what they were doing in the front office. They kind of thought they were going to change the front office there. But you know, look, they don't want to waste one more minute, you know, one more day. And I wouldn't either if I had Nikola Jokic, right? And you feel like, I don't know if this is going to help this year. Maybe it's too late, whatever it is. Like, but, you know, every call I've had with you for the past 2 years was about the Warriors is they're trying to do something big, something that matters, right? Because they have Steph in the end of his prime now. He's in the golden years, right? But I get why you do that, because you have a special player on your team.
So this firing was not so much episodic where something happened and it prompted it, but it was more just systemic where things had gotten to a point where it was going to be broken, and so they acted now as opposed to waiting for the offseason.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, they definitely, you know, from what I understand, like, I think they might have done this around the All-Star break if they wouldn't have gone on an 8-game winning streak. You know how sometimes, like, sometimes it feels like people are waiting for the team to lose a little bit and they can justify the firing, and then the point where they were about to do it, they went on a streak, and so they staved it off for a little while. But I don't know how. You know, the Grizzlies certainly haven't benefited from their move, right, so far. They've just kind of continued the free fall they were in, so I don't really know how that helped. But they did something just to do something. The Nuggets, I don't know, we'll see. We're about to find out, right? I mean, I just think this Western Conference, guys, I mean, they were the 2 seed for a really long time, and now they could be in the play-in. They don't get it together in the last couple games here, right? I mean, that's pretty stark.
I mean, this game that they're about to play tonight could send them to that play-in situation, no doubt. And so, Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, this is something that as a group we were talking about earlier today and looking at the Nuggets situation, and it does feel like there was a little bit of the two-timeline thing, like trying to balance, right? We've got draft picks, but we've got Jokic. Yeah. And so here it blew up, and the Warriors went through something similarly over the last handful of years. And it didn't blow up. Somehow the group was all on the same page. So what would you say about that in kind of comparing the situations, and what does it mean that the Warriors were sort of able to do that without everybody all hating each other?
I know. I mean, you did lose Bob Myers along the way.
You did. Right?
I mean, Bob ducked out, you know. And I think, you know, there was a couple of trades that sort of didn't work, but you're right. There's a lot of similarities. They were definitely doing the two timeline thing. And they also had, the Nuggets were also doing a two timeline thing where they had a coach that wasn't really doing the two timeline thing like the front office wanted him to. Right. That obviously, you know, that the same thing happened in with the Warriors, right? They, you know, they would draft, they had all these lottery picks, and Steve Kerr didn't necessarily play him right away or develop them in the way that the front office was hoping to, especially for the lottery picks. Now, the Nuggets, they didn't have lottery picks. They had, you know, late first-round picks. Usually, you're lucky if one of those guys turns into a starter. And so I get why Michael Malone, just like a lot of veteran coaches, would not throw the rookie in there right away and or give him all that time, or would prefer to play a veteran that he trusts. And so I think what's interesting with this situation now is these guys, you know, they have Jokic, who's due for an extension, right? They just paid Murray. They just paid Gordon. And they have Michael Porter Jr., who's a good player, but probably overpaid for your fourth best player on a team. And instead of being like the Warriors, where they, you know, they don't have this arena that is light years ahead and prints money and all that stuff. They play in a kind of an older arena. They just barely worked out their TV deal, and I don't think they can just blow past the second apron or the salary cap and pay all these luxury taxes forever. And it's something that every franchise in this league is looking at now, which is, if you have an expensive team, you can't be a first round exit. You can't be a play in team. And like, I know things have changed so dramatically since Jimmy Butler got there, but like, the Warriors were in the same place just a little while ago, before that one move, right? They were an expensive team that was heading for the play-in, or was lucky to get in the play-in. There's a lot of really good teams out there. And I remember talking to the Heat before they traded Jimmy Butler, and they always thought that their buyer for Jimmy Butler would come from the Western Conference, because there's a lot of teams out there in the West that are really good, that think they can win a title and are going to end up in the play-in. And if you're one of those teams, you got to think long and hard about how you're playing things, right? If I'm Minnesota, I'm thinking about what I'm doing. They look like that could be a play-in team, and that's a team we all thought was going to break through this year. So this is a very volatile situation, because there's so much at stake in terms of money that people are being paid, in terms of expectations, and the competitiveness in the West is really hard to wrap your head around how close this really is between the teams 3 through 8 right now.
Yeah, 49 wins could get you a 7 seed, which
unbelievable.
You know, that's alarming. We were talking about the 07 season when the Warriors won 48 and they were the 9 before there was a play-in. The 8 that year was Denver, and they won.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids, so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
150. So, Roman, I'm just one more about the Denver situation, because I'm so baffled, but is it more discord between Malone, the GM, and ownership, or is it Malone, the GM, and the actual players?
I would go your second option. I think there was a cold war between the coach and the front office, the coach and the GM, right? And that just made it hard for everybody else to do their jobs. You know, it's just, if you're not on the same page, right? You know, Calvin Booth's a really good, I think he's a really good GM. I think he's really smart. He drafted well. He came up with a strategy to sort of extend the Jokic prime years by drafting and developing these young guys, but that requires the coach to play the young guys and to hit on the young guys, right? For him to hit. And so that just wasn't working. And you could feel that tension between the front office and the coaching staff the whole way. But I think you know, 10 years is a long time for a coach, right? I mean, Steve Kerr has been there since, I think Malone's been there 1 year longer than Kerr. Is that right? I'm trying to think of their timelines. Kerr started in 15. Malone, it's about the same. Yeah,
about the same.
Yeah. So, like, it's a long time for one voice, you know, that there's a reason why 10 years in the NBA, even when you're a great coach, are not that long. You know, like, Spoelstra's been there for a long time now. Pop, you know, obviously he's been kind of, he's dealing with his own situation in San Antonio. But I think Malone had been there a long time, and he's an old school guy. He's hard on the guys, but he wins. Very smart. And so when you're winning, people tolerate that. When you're losing, they just don't, right? You're not as affable, or you're not as whatever. And I think that friction between the front office and coach, I think it just kind of made it hard for everyone else. And some of that, and this is where, when you're the owner, you get to, you know, you get to fire everyone else, not yourself. But I think it was kind of created by some external pressure that affected everyone, where I think Malone got paid after the championship and he got an extension, but nobody else really did. Either his staff or in the front office. And then everybody kind of has this feeling of, you know, am I going to still be here? And you know, the person you pay is the person you empower, right? But you have a GM who's, you're empowering him to make these moves and to take a team in a certain direction, but you're not necessarily giving him that contract that says you're going to be here to do it. And people know that, you know, like, right. People feel that. They know that. They know who's, where the power is. And, you know, it just made it hard for everyone. And I guess I'm surprised they fired both. But I'm not surprised they made a change. I thought it would probably be one or the other. But I think in the end, ownership was like, you know what? Let's just change the whole dynamic.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, we know you got to run. I wanted to get this from you, though, real quick. You're so close to the Jimmy Butler thing. And I want to know what you know about, maybe even behind the scenes, how well this is working and how realistic are championship goals. Like, if I just said Cavs, Celtics, Lakers, Warriors, Thunder, did I just name the champion this year, you think?
Probably, yeah, that's what I would say. I mean, I think the two in the East that you named are probably the, you know, that's going to come from one of those two. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if somebody else came up out of the East, but those two feel like pretty heavy favorites. And then, I don't know, we're all kind of discounting Houston because they're young. I don't know why we do that. I also saw the Lakers beat Houston recently, but Houston kind of did a number on your Warriors, so yep. I don't know. We got to respect them until somebody beats them. And Oklahoma City, again, young team, really good. All the metrics say they should win it this year. They're so far in front of everyone else. But, I'm one of those guys, like, I never count out players like Steph or LeBron or Jimmy or Draymond. I never count them out because they've been there before. They've won it. You know, Jimmy hasn't won it, but he's been to the finals, obviously. He knows what it takes. And, like, when they're older and they only have a few more cracks at it, like, they don't usually let those slip away. So, I mean, that's why I just kind of think it's that group. I think you're right. And I got to say, what did you think of that game last week when the Lakers and Warriors played?
That was the one level. I came in here the next morning, Ramona, and I was like, that was the one I needed to see. I'm now convinced.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt the same way. Like, you know, the Lakers sort of have Houston's, I don't want to say they have their number, but they feel like they could beat them. But I hadn't seen a game with the Jimmy Warriors and the Luka Lakers yet until last week, and I thought that was pretty encouraging for the Warriors, you know, in any series. And I also thought the game they played against the Rockets, I thought that game, you know, they look real tired to me.
Yep.
I thought that was a young team. They got physical and aggressive with them. And they were at the end of, like, this, what did they have, a 13-day stretch there where they were out on the road and they just came home. I mean, I'm going to give them a pass on that. But I thought that, again, Lakers game made me take the Warriors real seriously.
Yeah, I think we're with you. Hey, Momo, thanks so much for getting to us today. All right, have a good night.
You got it. Thanks.